We began 2 weeks ago a series of messages on the theme, Free Indeed. And in this series, we have been emphasizing that God wants every one of us to experience true freedom in our lives. Jesus said in John 8:32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And in this series, we are discovering those truths that as we understand and apply to our lives, bring us into freedom. And just a few verses after that, John 8:36, Jesus said, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." And we've been pointing out that only Jesus can really offer you and I true freedom. The world doesn't have true freedom to offer us. At best, the world offers us behavior modification rather than transformation and true freedom. I've defined free as not being controlled by someone or something in a way that results in negative situations. And true freedom is fully committing and connecting to Christ. That is the foundation. There is no true freedom apart from fully connecting and committing to Christ. So what are the truths of Christ that bring us into freedom? That's what we're looking at in this series. Last Sunday, we looked at the truth that freedom is a choice. You and I can choose freedom. Nobody can choose it for you. Nobody can keep you from choosing freedom, and God will not force his freedom upon us. A second truth we looked at is that to change the fruit, you have to deal with the root. Said another way, the root determines the fruit. And we looked at this tree analogy where the branches and the fruit represent our behaviors. It's the outward. It's what everybody can see. And sometimes what happens is we decide we want to change a behavior, and so we try to deal with it outwardly. We try to just stop doing it. We try to, in a sense, just cut off the fruit of the branch. But more often than not, cutting off the fruit, cutting off the branch does not work because we're not dealing with what is feeding the branch, what is feeding the fruit, and often it'll just come back in some way. So we want to go deeper and look at the trunk, and the trunk represents our beliefs. And by the way, the fruit can be good fruit, can be bad fruit. Our beliefs can be right, they can be wrong, but it's our beliefs that feed our behaviors. So if we want to deal with our behaviors, it's helpful to go a level deeper and examine what are my beliefs that are feeding or resulting in that particular behavior. But there is a level even deeper than the trunk, and that is the roots. And the roots represent life's exposures and experiences. Or maybe I could say more accurately, our interpretation of life's exposures and experiences. So we are exposed to things, we experience things, and then we interpret those things, and the result of our interpretation is our beliefs. So how can we effectively deal with our roots and our beliefs so that our behaviors become what God wants them to? Well, we can effectively deal with our roots by submitting them to truth and to Christ's transforming power. We deal with those roots, our experiences in life, the things we've been exposed to, we subject those to God's truth and his transforming power. To change the fruit, renew your mind. And that's really what we're focusing on in the rest of the message today. If we want to change the fruit, if we want to change the behavior, let's go and begin looking at our thoughts that feed that and In dealing with that, we're also addressing the roots, because again, it's out of our experiences, out of our exposures that we develop our beliefs. So, and let me just say this, that renewing your mind is not the only component to changing the fruit, but it is foundational. In this series, we'll cover a couple other things that are a part of changing the fruit, but if we don't renew our mind, we will never make much headway in changing the fruit. So let's jump in, Romans 12, beginning with verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Again, the foundation for true freedom is fully committing to Christ. And this verse talks about committing our bodies to Christ, that as a believer, our body belongs to Christ, and we want to use our body in a way that glorifies him. And he said, that's your reasonable service. That's nothing spectacular. It's just what we do as followers of Jesus. And then the next verse talks about not only committing our body to God, but our mind also being committed to God. It says, do not be conformed to this world. One of the biggest pressures you and I face is all of the pressures of the world trying to conform us to its ways. The world is always bombarding you and I to think like it thinks, to live like it conforms us into this certain way of doing things, ways that our society or culture says, you know, how we should be and what we should do. And let me just say that if you think pretty much the same way that all the people around you that are unsaved think, and if your life is pretty much the same as the lives of everybody else around you that isn't saved, then probably you do not have a renewed mind, and probably you have already been conformed to this world. You and I should not think primarily the same as those who don't know Jesus. You and I should not be living pretty much the same as everybody else lives who don't know Jesus. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want you to notice that we are called to live not a conformed life, but a transformed life. But how do we become transformed? We become transformed by the renewing of our mind. And by the way, notice the tense there, the renewing of the mind. You don't just do a couple things and say, okay, now I have a renewed mind. Renewing your mind is an ongoing process. I mean, just like, think of it, your immunity system. It has to keep working. Why? Because we keep getting exposed to stuff. And the renewing of the mind is the same thing. It's never completed because you keep getting bombarded with all different things, true and untrue alike. So we have to keep renewing the mind as an ongoing lifestyle. Now notice the last part of that verse says, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, as we renew our mind, we become transformed so that we are living out the will of God for our lives in deeper and fuller ways. Now, renewing your mind, what does it involve? It involves replacing lies with truth by abiding in God's word. Renewing the mind involves replacing lies with truth by abiding in God's word. Let's develop that a little bit. John 8, 31 and 32. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, I want you to notice the context of knowing the truth that makes us free is abiding in his word. If you want to write this down, John 17:17, it says, thy word is truth. So the truth that makes us free is the truth that comes as we abide in his word. And we're going to look at what abiding in his word means in just a moment. But notice the second part of that verse, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I want you to notice truth in and of itself does not make you free. It's knowing the truth. Let me give you an example. Salvation is a truth, right? But does that truth mean everybody is saved? No. Why? Because many people don't know that truth of salvation. That's why the church exists. You and I are on this planet yet so that we can share with people that truth so that that truth, as they experience it, can save them. But if they don't know that truth, then that truth cannot do its work in their lives. And the word know there, know the truth, means to know experientially. So it's not just knowing a truth exists, but it's believing it and it's applying it to our lives, and then we experience its reality. Now, if knowing the truth sets us free, then the counter of that would be that not knowing the truth, or in other words, knowing or believing lies, lead us into bondage. So part of transformation, part of experiencing freedom, is recognizing I probably got some lies that I need to replace with truth. Now, because none of us are 100% free, all of us have some things we believe that are not true. The problem is we probably don't know which things they are. But through the process of renewing our mind, we discover those things. And by the way, often our beliefs are a mixture of truth and lies. It's not that we believe either 100% of everything that's true, or we believe lies and they're 100% false. Often where you and I are at is we have partial truth. And sometimes what we need is not necessarily a 180 degree or 360 degree turn. Sometimes we just need that truth to become clearer. Sometimes we just need an adjustment. Sometimes we just need to remove some of the thinking that isn't, it's partially true, but we've got it a little bit off. So don't assume that the lies we're talking about are always, you know, like something really, really bad. Often it's just a partial thing that we're struggling with. Now, notice, and I'm going to just lay it out here straight, so get ready. Notice that the context of knowing the truth to become free is abiding in his word. Said another way, if you and I do not abide in his word, we cannot be free. Now, that brings us this question, what does it mean to abide in God's word? Abiding in God's word is probably something a little deeper than maybe we have assumed or practiced. Let me say it this way. To abide in God's word means to read it, think it, believe it, speak it, practice it, incarnate it. Did you get all that? It's not in your notes, so I'll break it down and you might want to write it down. First of all, to abide in God's word is to read it. Isn't that deep? Read it. But let me change that or add to it. I mean, read it like a lot, okay? Read it a lot. You can't abide in God's word if you don't read it. And abide is a pretty strong word. It means like you kind of just live there. You know, that's not like once in a great while you open the Bible and hope for one good verse to get you through the day. Read it. And then secondly, think it. Think it. Don't just read it, but then meditate on it. What does it mean? Go over it in your mind. Think it, and then believe it. decide whether I understand this fully or not. It's true, and I believe it's going to be true in my own life. Whatever it says, I'm going to live out that reality. Believe it, and then speak it. Speak it. Make sure that as you talk, your talk is lining up with what God's word says. Don't be talking things that contradict the Bible. Speak it. And then practice it. Practice it means act on it. Be obedient to it. Bring your life in alignment to it. And then incarnate it. What does incarnate it mean? Incarnate it means, or at least how I'm applying it, is it means we get to the place where the word of God becomes the default mode by which we respond to and interpret life. So in other words, as you experience something, it comes through the grid of the truth of God's word, not through your emotions or your beliefs or whatever. It means that when things happen and you hear things and you're processing things, it means it all flows through the grid of God's word. That is your operating system for life. That is how you process things. That is how you decide what you're going to do and what you're going to believe. It all flows through the word of God. Now, here's where some of you can get mad, but reading one verse a day because it popped up on your Bible app, go ahead and read it, but let me tell you something, that is not going to give you a renewed mind. Some of you have your favorite little devotional. It's got, you know, two or three verses and a paragraph, and you read that, and you're like, I'm good for the day. No, you are not good for the day. That's not enough. That's not abiding in God's word. You know, can you imagine if you and I ate physically like we eat spiritually? Some of us would be dead. I mean, think of it. Going days without eating, and then you expect to be strong and healthy? Like, really? Can you imagine some of you like opening the fridge and grabbing one grape and, okay, I'm good for the day. I got my one grape. That should be good. Can you imagine going through the drive-thru, give me 6 French fries, please? Like, really? That's all you need? Like, wow, you are efficient. So, reading Christian books or articles are not going to give you a renewed mind. In fact, I'll go this far. Listening to teachings and sermons are not going to give you a renewed mind, even if they're my teachings and my sermons. They are not going to give you a renewed mind. Why? Because it's abiding in God's word that is going to give you the renewed mind. Now, before you misunderstand me, all of those things I just mentioned, they're all okay to do if they're supplemental. If they're supplemental to you and God just having some time together where you're not reading what everybody else is saying, but you and God are just connecting, just you and his word. Now, again, I'm not saying don't do any of those other things, but I am saying they shouldn't be the main thing. The main thing is just you, God, and this word. Let me mention a principle. And the principle is you cannot develop intimacy through a third party. Those of you who are married, can you imagine if the only way you communicated with your spouse was through someone else? Not going to be intimate. Intimacy requires privacy. So if abiding in Christ and his word is about intimacy with him, why would we want to go through a third party to try to get intimate with God? Now, there's a place for teachers and mentors and all of those other things, but not as a substitute for you learning to read God's word, to feed yourself, to hear God for yourself. There was a place in the Old Testament where the Israelites were, oh God, or oh Moses, we don't want to talk to God. That's too scary. You just go talk to him and you tell us what he says and we're good with that. And a lot of people are like that today. They don't want to learn to hear what God says to them. They just want other people to tell them what God says. But let me just say this. The problem, one of the problems with looking to hear God through someone else is all you're really hearing is their interpretation of what God says. Why do you want to hear someone else's interpretation of what God says when you can hear directly what God says? There is one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. Only he is the mediator. So learn to get in this word and abide in it so that you renew your mind, so that you are transformed. Matthew 4, Jesus went through a series of temptations by the devil. And it's interesting that when the devil came on, and by the way, the devil was trying to use partial truths, misquotes, but at any rate, three times when the devil came at Jesus tempting him, he said, Matthew 4:4, it is written. Another temptation, Matthew 4:7, it is written. And in each of these, of course, he quotes what is written. Matthew 4:10, he finally says, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. And the Bible says that the devil left him for that season. Now, if he is our example, can you imagine the devil tempting you and you and I saying, devil, it is written. I'm not sure where, I'm not sure what it says, but it must say something there that could be helpful. I mean, that's just not going to work. Ephesians 6:17 says that the Bible is the sword of the Spirit. This is your primary weapon to drive the enemy back when he brings temptation and testing and problems into your life. But as sharp as the sword is, it only works if you work it. You might have a nice, really sharp sword hanging on the wall somewhere, but if you never take it down and you have no idea how to use it, it's not going to help you. We've got to know how to use this sword. Well, let's look at the process of renewing our mind with God's word. And the process, basically three steps. They won't always happen in this exact way. But the process involves identifying wrong thinking, identifying the lies, and then identifying right thinking, the truth that counters the lies, and then replacing the wrong thinking with the right thinking. That is the process of renewing our mind. So let's break it up a little bit. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Do you and I realize sometimes we don't think like God thinks? Do we realize sometimes my thoughts are on too low a plane? Do we realize sometimes my ways aren't God's ways? So that is the starting point for identifying lies, realizing I've got to admit that sometimes my thinking is off. Sometimes what I want, what I desire is just, it's not on. And so I have to realize that I'm in that place of needing to understand that sometimes I need to change what I think or how I live. But how do we do that? How do we identify wrong thinking? By saturating yourself in the Word of God, in truth. It's the only way. Saturate yourself in God's Word. And I want to encourage you to approach God's Word with at least three things: hunger, humility, and faith. Hunger, humility, and faith. Hunger. Just like you hunger for food at certain times, learn to hunger for God's word. You might say, well, what if I don't have a hunger? Then ask him to give you a hunger. Acknowledge it. God, I should be hungry for your word, but I confess that I am not. And so I'm asking you, God, to give me a hunger for your word. And then act in faith that he's going to give it to you, and that as you read God's word, even if at first it seems uncomfortable, even if it seems like my mind's wandering or I don't understand it, by faith, keep abiding in his word. And what I have discovered is the more you hunger, or let me rephrase that, the more you read God's word, the more a hunger grows in you for God's word. So you may have to cultivate a hunger for God's word. And then approach the word with humility, with humility. Too often people read the word to learn facts that they can use to win arguments. That's not gonna bring transformation. Sometimes people read the Bible so that they can impress others with their knowledge. That's not gonna bring transformation. Sometimes people read the Bible to confirm what they already believe. Let me say it this way. Don't just read your Bible. Let your Bible read you. What does that mean? That means that as I read the Bible, I have to be willing to let the Bible point out that your thinking's been wrong here. I have to be willing to let the Bible point out you need to change that area in your life. So that's approaching the Bible with humility, realizing there's a lot I don't know. There's a lot I can yet learn, and I'm willing for God to point out whatever he wants to point out. So with humility, we approach God's word. And with faith, believing it is God's word. It's true, whether I understand it or not. And I'm gonna trust that it's true. I'm gonna trust that my life is going to be a reflection of the word. I'm gonna live in alignment with it. I'm gonna experience its promises. Now, you might also find it helpful in order to discover lies, to trace the fruit through the beliefs, through life's experiences and exposures. In other words, as you consider, this is a behavior I know God doesn't want. As you take a step back, okay, what have I believed that's feeding that behavior? And why do I believe that? What's happened in my life that brought me to that place? And sometimes as you go through that process, asking for the Lord's help, sometimes even maybe another mature believer kind of helping you with that. Often in that process, you begin to discover the lies that you have believed that have fed that behavior. And then a vital part of identifying the lies is to quit feeding those lies. Quit feeding those lies. I mean, if you discover there's a lie, but you keep feeding it, it's gonna be very hard for you to overcome that to replace it with truth. So you have to begin putting boundaries in your life and decide, well, whatever was feeding that lie, I've gotta change what I'm feeding myself. I've gotta change some of the inputs into my life, some of the things I expose myself to so that I'm not feeding those lies, but rather I'm gonna feed the truth. In other words, screen your exposures. And then identify wrong thinking. And then secondly, identify right thinking. That is, identify the truths that counter the lies. Now, let me say this. Sometimes number two happens before number one. Sometimes you discover a truth, and as you're discovering the truth, you realize, wait a minute, I was believing a lie. Okay, so you may not always identify the lie first and then the truth. Sometimes you discover the truth and the truth itself exposes the lie. Now, how do we identify right thinking? We already mentioned the same way you do wrong thinking, by saturating yourself in the word of God, by abiding in it and doing so with hunger, with humility, with faith. It's the same process. And then the third part, and this is a process, replace the wrong thinking with the right thinking. So replace the old lies with the truth. That is, again, an ongoing process that Romans 12:2 calls the renewing of the mind. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down arguments and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So whenever we discover a belief that we're hanging on to that, well, wait a minute, that is against the knowledge of God, what do? We cast it down. We decide, I'm not going there. I'm not going to believe that. I'm not going to focus on that. How do we cast it down? It says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The way you cast it down is by replacing it with the truth. We bring every thought into captivity. Let me say it this way. To renew the mind is going to take you having some disciplined thinking. You're going to have to exercise, and it's one of the fruits of the Spirit, you're going to have to exercise some self-control in your thought life. Ask the work of the Holy Spirit to help empower you to be able to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Philippians 4:8 says it this way. Finally, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You can choose to meditate on those things, and anything that's opposite of that, cast down, get rid of. It says it this way in Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. We must be able to do that, or God wouldn't tell us to do it. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, Ephesians 4:23. Now, let me make a statement that I think will be helpful here, and that is this. You can't always control what thoughts enter your mind, but you can control which thoughts you invite to sit down at the table. Let me break that down a bit. You and I cannot control every thought that pops into our head. We've all had it. This thought pops in your head. Where did that come from? I mean, you didn't just decide, I'm going to fabricate this thought. It's just, boom, it's there. Well, it could be the enemy gave you that thought. It could be you were exposed to something that fed that thought. The point is you didn't just decide, I want to think that, okay? Or let me use this example. You cannot control who all knocks on your door, right? I mean, if they knock on your door, they didn't get your permission. They're just knocking. But let me tell you, you do have control over whether or not you invite them in to sit down and offer them something to drink. That is your choice. So here's the point, is that while we can't control which thoughts knock on the door of our mind, we can control whether we allow it to sit down and eat, whether we entertain it, whether we dwell, or whether we say, you are not welcome here. My table's full. My table's full of thoughts that are just and pure and lovely and of good. There's no room at the table for you. You're not in agreement with who's at the table. So no, you are not welcome here. Now, you may find in this process of what we're talking about today, renewing the mind, you may find it helpful if you realize there's a belief you've been hanging on to for a long time that's had an impact on your life. You may benefit from choosing to repent of having hung on to that belief and renounce that belief in the name of Jesus. And then choose to believe the truth by faith. Now, when I say choose to believe the truth by faith, realize that if you've had this lie for a long time and now you're recognizing it and you're recognizing the truth that counters that and now you're going to go with that, realize you're in for a little bit of a battle. For example, a lot of times your will doesn't want that truth to be true. I mean, you probably had that happen before where like you read something God says and you're like, I wish he hadn't said that. I don't want that to be true. But you know, when we resist temptation, the whole definition of temptation basically means it's the wrong thing that you really want to do, right? But resisting temptation means you don't do the thing you want to do because you're listening to a higher calling. You're denying yourself and following Christ. So it really, when it comes to the truth, you may not want it to be true, but that doesn't matter. Choose that it's true whether I want it to be or not. Also, choose truth even when your emotions disagree or argue with you. A lot of times, our emotions cry out like a spoiled brat. And sometimes what you and I need to do is turn the volume of our emotions way down and decide that if our emotions are disagreeing with God's word, our emotions are lying to us. So, we believe the truth by faith, not by our feelings, not by our emotions. And when we hold our ground, what happens is our emotions eventually come into alignment with the truth. Do you know one of our biggest challenges for believing the truth is how many others don't believe the truth? I mean, we have to come to the realization is that our media today basically does not believe the truth. Much of our educational system does not believe the truth. What our culture tells us is right or wrong often is not the truth. So you and I have to realize if I'm going to believe the truth, I'm probably marching to the beat of a different drummer than most of the people around me. If I'm going to believe the truth, I've got to realize I'm going to be swimming upstream while everything else is going downstream. So we've got to decide we're going to believe the truth no matter who else does or doesn't believe it, no matter what our culture says about it. And then believing the truth is also acting on the truth. In other words, it's bringing our life into alignment with it. James 2:26, faith without works is dead. And as I mentioned earlier, this is not a one-time thing we do and we're done. This is a way of living that we continually cycle through learning truth, rejecting lies, renewing our mind, being more transformed, living in a higher degree of God's truth. Let me just give you a couple scriptures on the importance of saturating yourself in God's word. We already looked at that, but I just want to give you a few more scriptures to encourage you. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. What that's saying is the only thing that should come out of our mouths are those things that agree with, that are in alignment with God's word. But you shall meditate in it day and night. Again, abide in it that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Bring your life in alignment with it. And here's the results, that you will make your way prosperous and that you will have good success. Notice it says, then you will make your way. As you and I abide in God's word, as we talk it, as we live in alignment with us, God causes our life to go better. He brings us prosperity and success. Now, that means prosperity and success as he defines it, not necessarily as to how our culture defines it. Psalm 1:1-3, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. When we talked earlier about being conformed to the world, this is how it often happens. We listen to the counsel of ungodly people. We stand too often, you hang out with the wrong people, and then we hang out with those that don't believe in God, those that scorn God's ways, and it brings us into wrong thinking, into conformity to the world. It brings the wrong fruit from our lives. Colossians 2 and verse 8 says we're to be aware of the philosophies and those traditions that will oppose us. And then back to Psalm 1:2-3, instead, it says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. That's what we've been talking about. We delight in God's word. We meditate on it. We give ourselves to it. What's the result of that? It says that we will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. Its leaf will not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. In other words, what we are doing is we are developing new roots, healthy roots, roots that will give us the right beliefs and that will produce the kind of life that God wants us to live. Let's look at one last passage, 2 Timothy 3, beginning with verse 15. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ. Notice not just knowing about the Scriptures, but knowing the Scriptures. Knowing them experientially brings us salvation. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And we've got to be convinced that this is not the word of man. This is the word of God. This is inspired by God. That's why we can abide in it. That's why it is profitable. What is it profitable for? It says for doctrine. That means to tell you what is true and what is not true, what to believe and how to live. It says that it's profitable for reproof. What does that mean? That means it's profitable to point out when you and I are straying from truth. It will point that out. But then it doesn't stop there. It's profitable for correction. In other words, here's the truth. Here's how to get right back on the truth path. And then it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. In other words, it can teach you and I how to stay on that truth path. What is the result of that? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In other words, the Bible wants to bring you and I to maturity and equip us to do the works of Jesus. Let me end with the trail analogy. We have about 15 acres back there that belongs to the church. I've walked through it many, many times. I've made a trail through there, and I've discovered trails that are just there. And I want you to think about a trail. How does a trail come into existence? It comes into existence by someone or something going over the same terrain regularly. I mean, even if it's like a field or whatever, if you just walk through that terrain and you do it over and over again, a trail happens. And of course, man can use tools and make it more distinct or make it quicker, but you can create a trail with nothing but frequenting the same terrain. In fact, often I will notice a trail that deer made. They didn't have any equipment. They just walked a particular path enough times that there's a trail. But now, what would happen if you vacated that trail for a long period of time? What would happen is that trail would grow over to the point it could happen that eventually there is no evidence that a trail used to be there. Now, how does this relate to our topic of renewing the mind? There's something that experts call neuroplasticity, and it's the ability of the brain to produce new thought patterns. You see, you and I have thought patterns, neurological pathways that our thoughts follow that literally are trails in your brain. Now, I've noticed that if I make a trail, eventually the deer, they use the trail I made. Why? Because it's the path of least resistance, right? And that's how you and I, our brains function. Our thoughts travel the path of least resistance. And it's because of, again, how we have thought over and over again. But here's the thing. Those lies that we talked about, the problem is that trail leads you to somewhere you do not want to go. That is not a good trail to keep following. It's not the destination you want. So what does that mean you have to do? That means you have to vacate that trail and instead establish a new trail, right thinking. And as you establish that new trail, that trail leads you to the destination you want. Now, here's the thing with neuroplasticity. Neuroplasticity really works with your brain in such a way that when you purpose to go a new path in your thinking, literally your brain begins making that pathway sort of the path of least resistance. It develops a new pathway to where eventually That's your default mode of thinking. That's the path you cover. That's the path of least resistance. So God wired our brains in a way that we truly can renew our mind. Would you stand with me? As we close, I want to remind you, God wants you, me, all of us, truly free. And what we've looked at today is for that to happen, we've got to renew our mind. And we're probably all at different places in that. Maybe you're like, okay, I'm doing this, but now I see something I need to do a little differently, or now I need to give it a little stronger focus. Or maybe you're like, wow, I have not been doing this at all. So whatever God is saying to you today, bottom line is that renewing our mind is only going to happen as we replace the lies with truth by abiding in God's word. So as you walk this out, identify the lies, identify the truth, replace the lies with the truth. And I want to pray over you today as we close, and any prayer teams serving today, if you would come during this closing prayer. But in these closing moments, I just want you to let God talk to you. Where are you at in the renewing of the mind? Maybe God is going to point out some things that he wants you to focus on. Maybe even as this service has been going on, maybe he pointed out a truth that he wants you to incarnate into your life. Maybe he's pointed out a lie that he wants you to stand against and replace. But whatever it is, let's yield to God and this process of renewing the mind, knowing that it will lead to transformation. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that your word is powerful like a two-edged sword. I thank you, God, that your word drives back the enemy. Your word brings healing to our past and our present. I thank you, God, that your word is true. I thank you, God, that as we bring our thinking into alignment with your word, it brings us transformation. It brings us, God, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And Lord, I just pray that what we have looked at today will be something that we grab a hold of and something that we walk out in our lives. And in these closing moments, God, speak to every one of us where we're at in this process and encourage us and guide us, Lord, as we continue this process. Lord, I pray right now that you will impart a new hunger for your word, a new hunger for your word. God, that we won't be satisfied with just a little here and a little there or just hearing what someone else says about it, but God, we will only be satisfied when we open the book and it's just us and you and your Holy Spirit bringing truth to our spirit, feeding our souls, bringing a transformation in our life. So Lord, would you give us that hunger and that thirst? And as we read your word, Lord, may it nourish and transform our lives. And I just pray for your grace and your mercy, your power, your truth, as we renew our minds and not be conformed to this world. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you continue to renew your mind. And if you want prayer before you leave, feel free to come forward. There are people here who'd be happy to pray with you. If anybody doesn't know Jesus or you're not where you should be with him, don't leave without coming and having somebody here pray with you.